Change history.
Change history.
Win today.
Win today.
Change history.
Change history.
Win today.
Win today.
So it's a late June evening in Tyler, Texas, and there's a school board meeting. And outside, there are a few hundred protesters gathering and chanting over an issue that has been building for a few decades now.
Dana Lee reported the story of a young athlete turned activist, Trudy Lamb, for ESPN.com.
The 11th speaker of the board meeting is 16 years old. She's incredibly shy.
Okay, next we have Trudy Lamb.
And her legs are shaking, like just a bit. And she's holding this letter that she wrote.
I am Trudy Lamb, a multi-generational Native African born and raised in Ghana, Africa, and now a first generation.
She's wearing a black t-shirt that says, "The time is now," and her pants are red, patterned, and bright.
I have walked through the gate of no return where over 12 millions of my brothers and sisters were kidnapped, never to return back to their home. I have worked the very...
On her wrist, she has these beads from Ghana that she wore to remind herself of home.
I love and enjoy the sports I play at Robert E. Lee. I cannot bear and will no longer wear Lee's name on my race jersey. I am currently the fastest...
And later, her mom will say it looked like she was going into battle.
Please vote to change the name, not to Tyler Lee, but after someone who we can all be proud of. This town was built on the backs of my enslaved brothers and sisters. We won't wear the name.
Within days, this letter ends up going viral. And Tyler, Texas becomes this microcosm of a nation in the middle of a conversation about race and history and who we choose to remember.
Today, the story of a teenage runner who set out to make a big change at her high school, Robert E. Lee High School in Tyler, Texas. As athletes across sports set an example in 2020, speaking out against racial injustice more than ever before, Trudy Lamb took a stand, refusing to run with the name of a losing Confederate general across her chest. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, December 30th. This is ESPN Daily. So Dana, introduce us to Trudy Lamb before she found herself at the center of this movement. Who was she?
Trudy Lamb is a high school cross country and track runner. She actually mentions in her letter that she was the fastest runner on the girls' team last season and had every intention of holding that spot the following season. She's very fast. She's also very shy. If you ask her why she likes cross country, she'll tell you it's because it's a sport you literally get to run away from people.
Trudy, do you like cross country or track better?
I would say cross country. Because cross country, like, you actually, like, go out to, like, run away from people. Like, for track, there's, like, people, like, literally staring at you run. And if you do something wrong, it's, like, really embarrassing.
She had cried in English class once, actually not too long ago, her freshman year, because she had to read something in class and her legs started shaking. Part of it is just because she's only been in the States for 6 years. She was adopted from Ghana in 2014 along with her biological brother, Felix. And so now she's living in Tyler, Texas. She's especially close to her mom, Laura.
I have favorite things about all my kids, but Trudy really, she's my tender one, and we've got a pretty tight bond, and I know how she has struggled so much to come into her own and be confident, and things that are so simple for a lot of teenagers are very, very difficult for Trudy.
What was her knowledge of the United States like before she came here?
Mostly from the people who visited the orphanage. She lived there with her brother after their parents had died. The people who visited the orphanage were always white, or it was learning about America through TV shows. She didn't know black people lived in America. And so understandably, when she came to America, a lot of it was learning about the country, but a lot of it was learning about race and where she fit in that conversation.
So once Trudy's in America, how does she end up getting interested in running?
Laura always said that PE was her time to shine because she didn't really have to think about anything else. It was kind of this freeing thing for her.
I like running because it makes me feel better about myself. It makes me realize that there is something that I'm good at and there is something that I don't really struggle with. It was something that really came easy to me. It wasn't hard. I wasn't nervous. It was just something that really I caught up to.
In sixth grade, she was running a 5:41 mile, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was something she was good at and she enjoyed it.
I want to understand a little more about Tyler, Texas, Trudy's adopted hometown, Dana. Where is Tyler? How big is it? How would you describe it for someone who's never been there?
Tyler is a character in itself. Tyler is a town of about 100,000 people. It culturally identifies as Southern. Like everyone I talked to for this story had said, we're more closely associated to the South culturally than you would typically think about when you think of Texas. The town is mostly known for its roses. They have a rose garden like not too far away from downtown with over 32,000 rose bushes. But before there were roses, the town grew peaches. And before the peaches, the town grew cotton. And so you have a lot of the same struggles with race and slavery and history in Tyler that you're going to get in the rest of the South, like Mississippi and Alabama, and what you think of when you think of the Deep South. So that kind of sets up the foundation for this debate about Robert E. Lee.
So Trudy moves to Tyler, and she is a young Black woman from Ghana, and her adopted mother, Laura, is this white woman from Mississippi. So, Dana, how do they talk about and learn together what it'll mean for Trudy and her family to navigate race in Tyler, Texas?
Laura has a really interesting background because she's from Mississippi, and she was actually telling me that she grew up in an area where if someone gave you a $50 bill, you wouldn't take it because it had Grant's face on it. And Grant was a guy who defeated the South. Mm. And so, like, that's Laura's background. And so now she's living in Tyler, Texas, and adopts two kids from Ghana. And she was very aware from the start that this was going to be different than raising her white biological kids. And the conversations that she's had with Trudy and her brother Felix about what it means to be two young Black kids living in America, those are conversations that Laura, like, she doesn't have with her white kids. And it is infuriating for her, and she hates that she has to do it. But she also knows that she has to try to protect her kids.
So Trudy ends up attending Robert E. Lee High School in Tyler. And for those who don't know, although most do, Robert E. Lee was a top general for the Confederacy in the Civil War. He was a slave owner. He was opposed to Black equality. And yet, in America, there are so many schools, buildings, streets named after him, not to mention statues of him. So how did this particular high school in Tyler get the Robert E. Lee name, Dana? And how did it show up in the school's identity?
So it was actually the students back in, I think it was like 1958, that voted on the school name. And for a few decades, they're just drenched in Confederate symbolism. Like, it's everywhere in this school. They had the second largest Confederate flag in the world after Ole Miss. And they would bring it out at these football games. There were a group of students named Lee's Gentlemen that would, like, tote the flag out. This was just a part of the school experience for a really long time. But in the 70s, the school is ordered to integrate by the government. And the Black students who were now going to Robert E. Lee are like, hang on, wait, like, this is not the school that we want to be going to, not with a name like that. but nothing really came out of it back in the 70s. And you didn't see a lot of opposition to the name until 2017, where you have the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. Mm. And that kind of reaches Tyler's doorstep. The board actually spent almost a year debating about it between 2017 and 2018, and it never ended up changing.
So as an athlete, Trudy is not only entering this school named after Robert E. Lee every single day, she's also running in a jersey at competitions with that name plastered across her. So at what point does Trudy become aware of who the school is named for?
So for the longest time, she didn't know who Robert E. Lee was, and so it never really bothered her. But Trudy is a researcher. She just Googles things, like, endlessly.
I was really surprised because, like, I had no clue the reason behind the name. I didn't know, like, this man was a terrible person. I didn't know, like, they named the school after him because they didn't want, like, black and white people going to school together. It was like, wow, there's a lot of history that we have not learned about.
She starts putting these puzzle pieces together, and one of them is her visit to Ghana. Her family visited Ghana and went back a few years ago, and they went to the Doors of No Return, which was the last place that slaves would go before they were shipped off to the Americas, Brazil, and parts of the Caribbean. It was really difficult for her to stand there and realize, like, the history of the place.
Really sad and shocking, especially, like, if I was back then, I could have been one of those people being sent off.
And then when she went back to America and was running for Robert E. Lee, like, you put those two together and she's like, yeah, I can't stand for this anymore.
Like so many people this year, Trudy is moved to action, Dana, by the death of George Floyd at the hands of police in Minneapolis. And you reported that she took part in local protests in Tyler.
Hundreds marched from the square in downtown Tyler. An outcry of voices urging for change.
The conversation is simultaneously starting up again in Tyler around the changing of the name of her high school. So Trudy writes down her thoughts about that. Tell me about that.
So she writes this letter on her phone, like in the notes app section of her phone, on her couch at home. And she talks about what it's like being someone from Ghana and running for a school named after Robert E. Lee, and how for her, as someone with her background and understanding, like, who Robert E. Lee was, like, this wasn't right. And because it wasn't right, Trudy had basically said, I'm not going to be running, playing sports. I can't support a school that supports this person because you can't support me and you can't support Robert E. Lee at the same time.
So her mom, Laura, helps Trudy look over this letter and email it to the school board. And she also asks Trudy's permission to post it to Facebook. And that's when the letter gets more attention. How did that propel things forward?
The day after Trudy sent the letter, there was actually a regularly scheduled board meeting, and there were plans for members of the community to show up to protest outside the parking lot.
The day before the board meeting, and when our letter had gone viral, I told her, I said, you've got to read it. And I had some friends over on the porch, and they were out there, and Trudy's like, nope, not doing it. Well, the next day, her sister, Rachel, and I, we were talking to her, and we're like, you know, you got to do uncomfortable things. Trudy had seen John Lewis in person and heard him talk. So we reminded her about John Lewis walking across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And she was still like, ugh.
Laura actually encouraged and showed Trudy a video, a YouTube video of the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City.
The United States is just about supreme in the sprint races, thanks to men like Tommy Smith and John Carlos. They came in first and third in the 200-meter dash and then stood on the victory platform with bowed heads, wearing black socks and gloves in a racial protest.
And it really kind of inspires Trudy to read the letter the following day.
Something that stuck with me from the video was just like how brave they were to stand up there in front of all those people. It was just really brave of them to do that. And it felt like I should have done the same thing, just stand up there in front of the board members and read my letter.
When Trudy came downstairs to go to the board meeting that night, she had on these red and black camo pants. She had some of her beads from Ghana. I just had this feeling that, like, she looked like she was about to go to war.
After the break, Trudy faces her fears.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So Dana, the next day, as Trudy is readying herself to speak at this board meeting, what was the scene like?
It was hot because we're talking about the middle of summer in Texas, and most of these protesters had been out there for a few hours by then.
Black lives matter! Black lives matter! Black lives matter!
And there were also a group of protesters against the name change, and they were wearing red shirts with Robert E. Lee's name on it, and many of them held signs saying, like, class of 71, class of 68. And their voices were actually loud enough where the board members could hear them from the inside.
So these protests are happening outside the building, and Trudy is making her way inside to speak. And this is the moment, Dana, that she has been dreading. How did it go?
Because of the pandemic, only one person was allowed in the room at this time. So she was all alone, like standing at this lectern, facing her worst fear and clutching this letter that she wrote the night before.
I was feeling nervous. But when I saw all these people like protesting, I was like, wow, this actually needs to get done. This has to get done. So I have to get over being scared and being shy and just do it.
So the board president calls her name.
Trudy Lamb.
She goes up, stands in front of the lectern, and is facing several board members arranged in a horseshoe facing her.
Hi, Ms. Lamb.
And she reads her letter.
I am Trudy Lamb, a multi-generational Native African born and raised in Ghana, Africa, and now a first-generation African-American student at Robert E. Lee. I have stood in the dungeons of the slave castle and seen the 3-foot urine and feces stain on the walls where my brothers and sisters were kept. I have seen the tiny hole at the top of the ceiling where they would throw food into the captured cell. I have walked.
I was live streaming it outside in the parking lot, and then I have friends texting me, oh my goodness, you're a beautiful girl. Oh my goodness.
I cannot bear and will no longer wear Lee's name on my race jersey. I am currently the fastest girl on your varsity cross-country team, and I held that place my 9th grade year, and I plan to do the same my 10th grade year. As one of your students, I am respectfully asking you to change the name, not to Tyler Lee, but after someone who we can all be proud of. This town was built on the backs of my enslaved brothers and sisters. Do it in their memory and honor the future of their ancestors that are at Robert E. Lee. We won't wear the name.
After she reads her letter, she walks off and out into the room.
Thank you, Miss Lamb.
And she just has this look of relief, like, I did it.
So as this thing is being beamed out into the world on the internet, and social media is now taking notice of it. What happens there? What kind of response was Trudy getting?
She starts getting responses from people like Robert W. Lee, who's actually a descendant of Robert E. Lee. And he tweets out her letter and says she has his full undying support. Michelle Monaghan, who's an actress, urges her Twitter followers to sign the petition to change the name, which had grown from about 4,000 signatures to more than 10,000 after Trudy's letter. And then she's doing interviews for CNN, MSNBC.
A top runner, Trudy Lamb, now refusing to wear her jersey until the name on the front of it changes.
Trudy crossing it out, and her friends and teammates are joining her.
Trudy's stance on the name change inspired the creation of social media pages.
Me and my people will not be seen as not human.
Trudy, tell us how you're responding to this.
Just cover up the name Robert E. Lee.
It's overwhelming in a lot of ways.
I was just like, no, this is not happening. I got more nervous knowing that people were like starting to know who I am. And I don't know, I was just really uncomfortable about it because now I know more people are going to recognize me when I go out and like people staring at me, which I don't like.
Laura was there to kind of guide her through all this, but it was a rough few months for a while. And there were a lot of people who said, don't bring this national conversation about race into our town. And people told her that she needed to go back to Ghana and run for them if she wasn't happy here. And then she started receiving threats.
Hold on, what kind of threats was Trudy getting?
There was a night Laura was in her bedroom.
My husband and I were getting ready for bed or something, reading in the bed, and her sister Rachel texts and says, oh my gosh, have you seen what's going on? Is Trudy okay? So Rachel comes home.
She was holding screenshots of a group message among students at Robert E. Lee that were kind of going around social media.
Rachel's showing me a photo of Trudy was shared, and then another friend of hers, a Black friend, was mentioned in the text.
And they were these threats from students about bringing a knife to school.
Very hateful things about the Black community.
It made Laura feel like Trudy wasn't going to be safe.
So as all this terrifying stuff is happening, Dana, what was Trudy finding by way of support in her community?
The big one was Earl Campbell.
The 5'11", 232-pound Earl Campbell was a remarkably fast starter.
Earl Campbell is the pride and joy of Tyler.
In his first three seasons, Campbell won Rookie of the Year, a league MVP, and three rushing titles.
It's where he grew up. He still has house there. And the track and football stadium is actually named after Earl Campbell. He read Trudy's letter and invited her and her family over for dinner. Trudy got to take a picture with Earl Campbell's Heisman Trophy. He had actually called the superintendent a few days before to let him know that he was also behind the name change.
In the middle of July, Dana, the board ends up calling a special meeting, and they discuss and consider the name change. What did Trudy experience as she watched that play out?
Trudy and her family actually had a conversation before the board meeting. Trudy's like, I'm just going to stay home, like I'm going to watch it from there. And she puts out a statement the day of.
Be the same leaders you ask and teach us to be. Be the leaders we need right now and push for a conversation about removing all the symbols and Tyler that feed racism and divide us all.
During this whole thing, there's protesters outside, the board meeting's happening inside, and Trudy is at home waiting to see what's going to happen.
We were in the living room on my mom's computer watching it live. I had in my head that, like, the name might not get changed. You know, we might just keep doing this forever. Like, just keep putting it off.
Each of the board members starts speaking, and the board president, Wade Washman, he puts it to a vote.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
And the board decides to change the name.
What was Trudy's reaction when that declaration is made?
It took a while to set in. And once it did, she threw her hands up, actually. Like, so hard it actually knocked the picture frame off the wall.
I was really excited because I knew I wasn't going to have to wear that name again. And, like, it was really refreshing.
So the school's name, Dana, gets changed to Tyler Legacy, which sounds more innocuous, more straightforward. How was the new name received by Trudy and the town?
Trudy feels pretty neutral about all of it. When we've talked about it, in her mind, like, anything was going to be better than Robert E. Lee. But there were definitely members of the community, when they saw that name, who thought it was a slap in the face, saying that we know what they're referring to when they say legacy. They're referring to the legacy of the Confederacy. For me, it was kind of this, like, changing a name does not fix all of the problems that Tyler, that other communities have with racism. Like, racism is not going away, but it feels like the first step that needed to be taken in order to tackle those larger conversations. Like, it was going to be a lot harder to have conversations about race with a high school named after Robert E. Lee.
So how does Trudy feel about everything that she's accomplished?
It was hard for Trudy to fully realize the impact that this was going to have until there was a moment after the name was changed. She was at the grocery store working, and there was a man who came up to her, a black man in his 40s. She's never met him before, and he went up to her and said, "Thank you for what you did." And I think that moment for Trudy was the first time she really was able to put a face on, like, the change that she helped create in this town, was it actually impacted people.
How did you feel the first race? And you had the new name, Tyler Legacy, on your jersey. How did that make you feel?
When I had the new name on my jersey, it made me feel more confident in myself, knowing that if I can get the name changed, I can be able to run and, you know, try my best.
I think it's easy, especially now, to be cynical about change and the pace of progress. And I think that cynicism becomes dangerous when it turns into apathy. Like, why, you know, when you get to a point where you're like, why even bother? But this story, at least for me, is a counterpoint to all that. It makes me hopeful knowing there are people like Trudy out there.
Dana Lee, thank you for sharing Trudy's story with us on ESPN Daily.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, up next. Calls for social change came from around the globe this year and from on the court, too, as Holly Rowe explains.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another voice I want you to hear. 2020 saw athletes across sports speak out and raise their voices for social justice, and the WNBA was at the very forefront of the movements for both racial and gender equality. Holly Rowe takes us courtside for the WNBA's fight for their season and for their lives.
Fight. That has always come naturally for the women of the WNBA. fighting just to play, be seen, heard.
Into the corner.
The fight is constant and never more essential in 2020. Playing through a pandemic immersed in the racial reckoning ignited after the brutal deaths of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd. From the streets to the court, they were the leaders in the fight for awareness, for justice. It was Angel McCautry who first suggested to wear the name of Breonna Taylor on the WNBA jerseys. Seattle MVP Breonna Stewart's idea to paint Black Lives Matter on the court was soon copied by other teams. The first professional sports league with a social justice council that formed and had tangible action, educating us all about often forgotten victims of police brutality.
We are lifting the names of Black and brown women whose murders have been forgotten.
Together in one bubble, the collective power of these women was evident. Organized, passionate, precise. The mental health challenges and sacrifices were heavy, but they fought through. Strong, dazzling, beautiful.
It's good at the buzzer!
If you ever need inspiration to know what strength looks like, turn to the WNBA. Mothers, activists, organizers, athletes. They fight for it all. They always have. They always will.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.